Amanda Palmer is an accomplished musician, also the author of The Art of Asking. Hello, Amanda.
Hi, nice to talk to you.
Yeah, thanks for talking to us. Your opinions on Spotify have kind of evolved over time, right? What are they right now?
Well, right now, my opinions about stuff and music and the internet are constantly evolving because things are changing daily. But, you know, I've always been of the opinion that every single artist is unique, and looking for one big answer for all musicians is the main mistake everyone is constantly making. Because everyone in the industry is sort of always, you know, peering into the future going, is this it? Is this it? Is it going to be this? Is it going to be this? And I think the better question to always ask is, you know, what's good for this band and this artist and this girl and this guy at this time? The bigger question is, if you're a musician, what kind of life do you want? What kind of living do you want to make? What kind of person and lifestyle do you want to be and have? And, you know, Taylor Swift might want one kind of lifestyle and job, and I might want another, and Radiohead might want another. And as far as Spotify goes, you know, we have kind of traded one set of handcuffs for another because, you know, the major labels toppled and, you know, everyone has been in a tizzy, and it does seem like, you know, streaming is going to be the future. But, you know, Spotify is a company that needs to make money. YouTube is a company that needs to make money. And, you know, as we used to all give our stuff as promo to radio and MTV for free, hoping that we would make our living in another way, you know, whether it was playing live or selling shirts or, you know, somehow, you know, recently selling our music directly to our fans, we have to remember that they are a profit-driven company. And they are not necessarily in the corner of the artists.
Do you think this latest move helps the right people, this move to allow certain artists to, you know, prevent their music being on the free Spotify service? I mean, how would you like to see Spotify change what they do in order to help cater to artists' specific needs?
Well, I think Spotify is always going to do what it wants. I don't think there is a world where the artists sit down in a room and decide this is what would be best for Spotify. You know, then Spotify would never make a profit. I don't think it's my job or any artist's job to stand there with their hand on the hips and tell Spotify what would be best for us. I think the better approach is for Spotify to, you know, move into its future the way it thinks best, and then the artists can pick and choose whether they want to be the kind of artist who uses Spotify for promo or not. I'm always a fan of more choices and not less, you know, in art as in internet as in life. And I think we're learning so much as we barrel ahead into the future of the internet. And sometimes you just don't know how people and audiences and crowds are going to react until you throw something their way and see what works. To think that every artist is going to want to use the same tools the same ways is misleading, because that's just never going to be the case. Because your Taylor Swifts and the 1% of pop artists who, you know, have the ability to kind of control traffic and throw their weight around have such a different agenda and kind of power than the garage band down the street.
Are you bullish on the future of digital music as a product that can make money for the artist? Or do you think the future of recorded music is fraught and that artists will make more money with crowdfunding and touring, other merch, stuff like that?
You shouldn't necessarily separate digital goods from crowdfunding. I'm using Patreon right now, which is basically a subscription to the Amanda Palmer channel. And that is a great example of free digital content, but paid for by subscribers who want me to make a salary and make a living. And those things don't have to be mutually exclusive. And that's the thing that really throws the music industry into a tizzy. And you know, I mean, it really is possible that there's a future of micro-patronage where the goodwill and the belief and the love for the artist from the audience actually can cover an artist's salary. It also means that you might not have a future of Taylor Swifts who are making, you know, seven-figure salaries it could be that, you know, all you need is an audience who loves an artist's music enough so that they can make a living wage. And that's so backwards from the way we all grew up with the superstars of MTV.
Do you think that there will be a future then where there's like a lot of sort of mainstream artists that are on these music streaming channels, and that a lot of artists will actually choose specifically to eschew those kind of Spotify's of the world in order to go direct to the consumer, which has always been the kind of dream and has worked in different ways over the years?
I think it'll be a combination of both. I don't think it's going to be quite so clean as that. I think, you know, the same way it was in the 90s and the early 2000s when I was, you know, when I was just starting my band, the approach is kind of the same as it is now for any band that's just starting out, which is like blast all channels possible. Get your music in as many ears as possible, however you have to do it, whether it's burning a CD and giving it away or whether it's, you know, hollering outside the club and telling people to come in and see your show and putting up flyers on telephone poles. That's really, that attitude is what makes bands successful, which is,
and has always, right?
Has always, that hasn't changed. You know, and there is this, there's sort of two narratives going on that are reflecting each other right now, which is, you know, this whole sort of movement of, I am not going to give you any of my music unless I get paid. That's never worked. It didn't work in the 80s. It didn't work in the 90s. It's not going to work in 2015. And if you're a musician just starting out, you know, just as you used to needed to, you know, gig for free and play at your friends' parties and, you know, take the gig at the bar down the street at the open mic just to get yourself exposure, it really still is necessary. And that is going to make its way into the digital world. And so there is a problem because on the flip side, once you've gained a little traction and you've got a small audience, you know, you do want to up the worth and declare that your music has value. But, you know, trying to figure out how to do that in a digital world where pretty much everything is free all the time is really hard. And this is what is spinning all the musicians' heads, which is, you know, those platforms which used to be separated by, you know, now that you're here, will you buy our CD? Those lines have become so blurred that everyone's sort of scratching their heads going, oh my God, now how do we monetize this once we have value? And I'm not claiming to have the answer to that question, but I really do think it's never going to be one answer. You know, some artists are going to go a real pop direction and try to get brand sponsorship, and some artists like me who never really wanted to do that are just going to go straight to their audiences with their hands out saying, hey, listen, if everybody in this room gives me a dollar, I'll be able to keep writing music. And everyone goes, okay, Amanda, we'll give you a dollar so that you don't have to run around, you know, wearing like a golden Nike tattoo on your forehead.
Well, someday, maybe. No, hopefully not. Amanda Palmer is an accomplished musician, also the author of The Art of Asking. Amanda, thank you very much for talking to me.
It was such a pleasure. Thank you.